morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I was challenged to be here this morning in our devotions and then in the Sunday school lesson. I don't know, I must admit that I found it hard to completely engage with the entire Sunday school lesson there, some of the thoughts that were there. But the last question in the Sunday school quarterly of the adult book had a very sobering question, and it fits very well with what I'd like to share this morning. The question is, can we be certain that we are following the right shepherd? And then it says, explain. And I think that Jesus gave us the answer to that question in John 10, verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's the answer to that question right there. My sheep will hear my voice, and I will know them, and they will follow me. So I think that it's a sobering question, because if we come to the end of life and discover that we were following the wrong shepherd, there'd be tremendous disastrous results to that. That's what the lesson aim was in the adult quarterly, was to see the disastrous results of not following Christ, not following the shepherd. Well, this morning I would like to continue our study in Mark chapter 4 is where we find ourselves this morning. And in this chapter 4 of Mark, as I have titled my message, The Parable of the Four Soils. Sometimes we call it the parable of the sower, but I really think that the point that Jesus was trying to make with this parable was the condition of the soil that the seed found when it landed. So the parable of the four soils. But before we read this chapter, I would like to briefly talk about, why did Jesus use parables? Why did he use parables to illustrate his teaching? I didn't do a count of how many parables that Jesus shared in his ministry, but there's many, many parables. What is a parable? We don't often use that. I don't usually stand up here, or you don't hear ministers say that I'm here to give you a parable this morning. It's not something that we often use, but a parable is a short, usually fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or religious principle. We call them object lessons often, illustrations. I mean, there's times when we use school devotions, or even in sermons, you'll use an illustration or an object lesson to help illustrate your point. A parable is a teaching tool to help understand a deeper meaning. Sometimes the example is maybe a little weak, but it points to a deeper meaning. A parable is often based on something that the audience can identify with. You know, when we think about planting a field, most of us think of a big grain drill or 20-row corn planter. But Jesus' audience, when they talked about a sower sowing seed, they knew exactly what he was saying. He had a bag of seed, and he cast the seed out. I still use that method whenever I put some new lawn in. That's how I plant my grass, is that same method. But why didn't Jesus just speak plainly to the crowds that gathered to him? The even disciples wondered about that same question. They wondered, why do you speak in parables? Turn with me to Matthew before we go to the account of Mark. In the same account about the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, the disciples specifically asked Jesus, why do you speak and preach in parables? And he answers them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 17, it says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Notice, Jesus answered. He said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which is Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But notice here, he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they shall hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have heard them. And then he proceeds here in Matthew to tell them the parable of the sower. So I see two basic reasons why Jesus used parables by these verses. I see two basic reasons why Jesus used parables. Number one, he used parables to teach his disciples about the kingdom of God. He says that specifically, that they would understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He wanted them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it was very imperative that they understood the mysteries of the kingdom of God, because he was going to delegate and ordain them to go out and preach the gospel. So it was imperative that they understood the basic doctrines that he was trying to tell them. The other one is a little bit more difficult for our minds to grasp. We see that in verse 13. It is to prevent others from understanding. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And you say, well, why did Jesus say that? Why would Jesus want them to not understand what he was saying? Doesn't Jesus clearly want everyone to come to the knowledge of truth? Well, yes, he does. But sadly, there's always going to be a group of people that reject the truth. And Jesus used parables to clearly divide between these two groups of people. Those who wanted to learn, he enriched spiritually. Those who came that didn't want to learn, they didn't understand what he was saying. To those who were truly his disciples, the meaning was obscured. Who were not truly his disciples, the meaning was obscured. And they even became more spiritually impoverished. Jesus often concluded his parables by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. These ears that he's referring to are the ears of your heart. He's talking about physical ears, but also that we would grasp it in our heart and understand the deeper meaning that he was trying to convey. Jesus referred back to Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, where God told Isaiah, he told Isaiah, go preach to these people. But he said that they will, almost word for word, use the exact same phrases there, that they will hear, but they will not understand. They will see, but they will not actually see. Only those who truly wanted to know truth and were willing to apply their lives would truly understand. That concept was true in Isaiah's day. It was true in the time of Jesus. And it is true today in this room. That if we want to know truth, we will understand truth. If we want to hear what Jesus is trying to teach in this parable, we will understand it. If we choose to reject it, the darkness just becomes darker. I think most of us enjoy object lessons or stories that illustrate a point. But do we grasp the deeper meaning and make it practical in our lives? If I used an illustration today, would you remember the illustration, or would you remember the deeper meaning behind it? That's what Jesus was trying to do. Are we willing to grasp the deeper meaning and make it practical in our lives? Or are we like the people in Isaiah? He goes on, Isaiah 6:10 says, our hearts are fat, our ears are heavy, and their eyes were shut, so they could not see, hear, or understand. Is that how we find ourselves this morning? That our hearts are fat, our ears are heavy, and our eyes are shut, so that we cannot see, hear, or understand. Well, my prayer this morning is that God would help us to be awake and alert to the deeper meaning found in this parable, the four soils. You know, the meaning that Jesus wanted those people to grasp over 2,000 years ago is still applicable today. His parables that he shared, though sometimes illustrations we can't quite identify with them to the same level, the meaning, the deeper meaning that he was trying to convey is for us today, just like it was for them. Let's read Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 25 at this time. And really listen and grasp the importance of what Jesus was trying to teach. Imagine that it's not me up here reading this, but that's Jesus standing in a boat in front of this huge multitude, and he is teaching the people. Let's read the word of God here. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into his ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, or maybe he said, give attention, listen. Behold, there went out to a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither has there was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Notice verse 23 again. He said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be more given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Let us cease reading there at the end of verse 25. Well, this morning I would like to take a deeper look into what Jesus was trying to teach them by giving them the example of these four soils, what we could learn from this. Because what kind of soil we truly are is very important, because it will determine whether we grow or whether we die. Also, I noticed for the first time in verse 13, the importance, what Jesus said to them there in verse 13, he said, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? It's almost like this. There is a foundational truth that is found in this parable that unless we grasp the concept of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? This parable is to teach us to be attentive to the Word of God and the effect that will have it on our life. I'm convinced that if we don't understand this parable, if we don't understand the importance of allowing God's Word in our life, we are missing the key to unlock the door to real spiritual life. In John 6:63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Do we believe that this morning? That God's Word are spirit and they are life. Later in that same chapter, Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So we can conclude that in order to be alive spiritually, we must hear, receive, understand, and keep the words of God. Keep the words of Jesus. And that is why I'd like to look at this parable this morning. And the four soil conditions that we see here in this parable. But first of all, verse 3, it says, "Behold, there went out a sower to sow." I take from this that as long as life goes on, God's word will be sowing. God is sowing his, the sower continues to sow. You know, regardless if the soil is prepared or not, he is going to continue to sow. Regardless if we receive it with gladness or reject it entirely, the seed is sown. I see that very clearly there. Just like I plan to stand up here and preach this morning, whether you are prepared to accept it or not, whether you are awake or sleeping, I'm going to preach. The sower is going to sow. And it is each of our personal responsibilities to have our hearts prepared. I didn't send a message out last night saying, "Be sure and prepare your hearts for the sermon this morning." No. It is our own personal responsibilities to have our hearts prepared. It is up to us what happens to the seeds that are sown. Every last one of us have ready access to God's Word. We can come to church, we can hear His Word preached. It is up to us what we do with the seed that is sown. Going to the four grounds. Number one, the wayside ground. We see that in verse 4. It says, "It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." We also see it in verse 15 as he's explaining it. He says, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So this verse gives us the picture of the truth was sown. It was given. But it didn't have effect. It didn't have an effect, and it was taken away. Why is this? What is Jesus trying to get us to understand here? Well, I believe there's a number of reasons that he's trying to get us to understand. In the Matthew's account of this same parable, he says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away which was sown in his heart." So they didn't understand it. You know, some say, "Well, it's Satan's fault that he took it away from us. It's not my fault." Really? Is that what Jesus is saying, that it's Satan's fault? You don't carry responsibility. No, I'm convinced that it is our fault. Our soil was not prepared to receive it. Satan cannot snatch it away if the soil is ready to receive it. The phrase "understandeth it not" in the Amplified says, "does not grasp or comprehend it." So why don't they grasp or comprehend the word? When truth was presented to these thousands of people, those that didn't grasp or comprehend, why didn't they? Well, it's because their hearts were unprepared. The soil was packed very hard. It was very similar to right now, it's extremely dry out there. If you found soil that was packed extremely hard, almost like concrete, how can that seed penetrate? It can't. The soil is too hard. So what makes the soil hard? I really want to make this practical to us this morning. What makes our soil hard today? Turn with me to John 3 for two verses on what can make our soil hard. John 3, verse 19 and 20. This is Jesus speaking again. And he says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." I think that is one of the reasons that our soil is hard, is because we do not like the light. We do not allow the light to penetrate. Letting the light in would require revealing things that we don't want to reveal. It would require us becoming transparent. We don't want to do that. Also in John, you don't need to turn to it, he talks about those who would rather have the acceptance of men rather than God. They're more concerned about what people think than they are what God thinks. That can make our soil very hard. That can keep us from allowing the seed to penetrate. How much do we put on acceptance of men? Are we willing to be different than our friends? You know, just because your friends are hiding things and going against what God allows doesn't mean you have to. It does not mean you need to. Are you willing to allow God to plow your fields and prepare you for fruit bearing, even if it might cost the acceptance of your friends? Are you willing to do the right thing? I want to challenge all of us to really think about that. What are we willing to do to allow God to break up our hard ground? Because the truth is, no one bears fruit unless they till the soil and break up the hard ground. I know that in our day and age, they do a lot of no-till drilling, no-till planting. Somehow to me, it's just that something is wrong about that. They need to till that soil, get it worked up. Hebrews 10:12 says, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." I can't overemphasize that. Break up your fallow ground. Break it up. Seek the Lord. Let him come in. Number two is the stony ground. See that in verse 5. It says, "Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth." Immediately it came up. You know, this ground is slightly different than the wayside. On the wayside, it says that it didn't even sprout. It didn't grow at all. But here, it almost would appear that it very quickly sprouted, even quicker than normal. It says it sprouted and began to grow. Why didn't it continue to grow? So verse 6 says, "But when the sun was up, it was scorched." Why? Because it had no root, and it withered away. It lacked fertile soil. It lacked a place for the roots to go down and to get its important nutrients to grow. You know, this soil represents those who believe and obey, but it doesn't last long. There's not enough rich soil to sustain life. Why not? What keeps them from growing? What keeps them from growing? Because verse 16 says, "And these are they that likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness." And it gives us the picture, they received it gladly. They were looking for a solution to their problems. They wanted to do what was right. Why didn't it last? You know, I had to think of an example of this today. It's called emotionalism, surface worship. People get all hyped up. That's why sometimes firing preaching, preachers that can get up there and really get people stirred up. They use entertaining illustrations. They use music, worship teams in churches. They call it being on fire for the Lord. Really? Are they actually on fire for the Lord? The true test is, when all that dies away, when all that noise dies down, where's the fire then? What? Do those flames go out? I'm convinced that they're ruled more by emotion than by the Word of God. Verse 17 says, "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." They don't have roots. Their faith is shallow. They're not firmly grounded in the Word of God. They're easily offended. Why are they easily offended? Because life is all about them, not about God. Ever think about that? People are easily offended. It's because life is about them, not about God. They have to defend themselves. Jesus said offenses will come. Any of us that have come to the age that I am of now, or even that have come to some kind of maturity, know that offenses will come. You will face tough things. It is up to us to prepare for them. You know, I can't think of any better way to prepare yourself for offenses than putting your roots down deeply. Put them deeply. Plant them in God. God does not change, and He will not let us down. It is imperative that we have deep roots. Because as verse 6 says, the sun will come up. And if we don't have roots, we will wither away. It's that simple. This was a concept that they could understand. This is a concept that if we go outside right now and we see anything that doesn't have roots, it is going to wither away. It is very dry outside. Hard times will come, so prepare. Number 3, the thorny ground. Verse 18 tells us, well actually verse 7, first, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." Verse 18 also says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word." Again, these same people, they heard the word. They heard it. And it appears that it grew. They grew, but they didn't mature. It almost, the picture I get, they even grew taller than the ones in the rocks, but they did not mature. This soil represents those who believe and obey, but then stagnate. I think we see that all around us today. Many become Christians, but never fully mature. Instead, allowing carnality to choke out the life that once was started. We see that over and over again. People who started out right, they made good choices. They wanted to do what was right, but they allowed the things of this world to choke it out. How does this happen in our lives today? Well, one of the ways, I think, is spending thousands of dollars on self-interest and self-expression. You know, this is of the world, it will perish with the world. That is exactly what verse 19 is trying to tell us. "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." I'm convinced if we want to have a vibrant spiritual church today, we must wake up and call sin what it really is. You know, carnality is sin. Rebellion is sin. And living after the flesh is sin. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe that? And if we leave these unchecked, they will choke out our spiritual life and kill the church of tomorrow. I'm convinced of that. If we allow the thorns and the thistles to grow, they will choke out the church of tomorrow. Materialism is another thing that can easily choke us out spiritually. You know, Brother Jeff, last Sunday evening, talked a lot about that. I support what he said. There's so much focus can be on material things. It can choke out our spiritual life. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 sums it up very well. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to each other." brothers and sisters, I'm not planning to give you a long list of do's and don'ts. I'm not going to take this verse and tell you how much money that you can have before you're choked by the deceitfulness of riches. I don't have a formula to check if you're consumed by the cares of this world or the lust of other things that he refers to here. But I can assure you one thing, and that is this: we are either controlled by the flesh or by the Spirit of God. It's that clear. We are controlled by our flesh or by the Spirit of God. And it will become apparent which it is by the fruit we bear or the lack thereof. Either we're bearing fruit or we're not. It's that clear. Number four, the good ground. I never like to end messages on a negative note, so I'm thankful that Jesus put the good ground at the end. This soil represents those with good hearts. They hear, they understand, and they obey the word. I am convinced that there will be faithful Christians in every generation, until Jesus calls us home, until he brings an end to time, that there will be a faithful generation, there will be faithful people that are bearing fruit, and I'm thankful for that. But they will hear, they will understand, and they will obey the word of God. Matthew's account in these verses for this parable says, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understand it, and also beareth fruit." So we see there that there's that progression, that he needs to hear it, he needs to understand it, but he must also bear fruit. Luke says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." That's just a little different twist there, that we keep up, we stay the course, we continue, we don't give up. Now, many faithful Christians choose this path of being of an honest and good heart. They choose to daily surrender their lives. They choose to daily pull the thorns and thistles that threaten their life. They do weed control. They get rid of those things. You know, what can be a thorn in your life or a thorn in my life might be different, but things that distract us and choke out our spiritual life, we need to pull those out. We need to get rid of them. They choose to daily fertilize their soil with reading the Word of God. Gary talked about that this morning in devotions. If we want nutritious soil, we must fertilize it with the Word of God. They choose to accept the path that God chose for them. We can try to resist the path that God chose for us, but we choose to accept the path that God chose for us, and we run that race with patience. And if you forget everything else that I said this morning, remember this phrase: life is all about God and not about me. We have to grasp that. Life is all about God and not about me. This, my friends, is true fruit bearing. This is what Jesus said when he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." That's what he's talking about. Follow the path of Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. We can finish the race that was set before us. It's possible. We can know the Good Shepherd, but we must hear his voice and we must understand what he wants from us. In conclusion, to truly benefit from this parable, there's one more thing that we need to do, and we need to answer the question: what kind of soil am I? What condition is my soil? You know, when if you're a farmer, there's times when you take soil samples and you discover what's lacking, what's wrong. We pick rocks, there's many things that we do to. So what kind of soil am I this morning? Are you like the wayside? This is the test. If you have heard God's truth and you are not obeying it, if you know what you need to do and you're not obeying it, you are on the wayside. And your heart is getting hard. Resisting truth will always make your heart harder. And it will make you susceptible to Satan's deception. There's a reason that he put that in there, that Satan will come and he'll take that seed away. If your heart is hard, he will take that seed from you. Or are you like the stony ground? Well, if you're responding to the gospel, but you're not firmly rooted, you're still not sure where you're at with all this, and your faith is not strong, you will likely fall into temptations that come your way. You will give in to peer pressure, and you will go with the flow. You will not be prepared for the storms of life. Or you like the thorny ground. If you have responded to the gospel, but you have become preoccupied with the cares and riches and pleasures of this world, you will not bear fruit. Your spiritual life will get smothered, and it will get choked out. Remember what Jesus said in John 15 of what will happen to branches that do not bear fruit? He'll cut them off. They will get cut off. Or are you like the good ground? If you have responded to the gospel and are surrendered to God, you will bear fruit. You will have a good and noble heart. You will understand God's word, and you will obey it. You will love what God loves, and you will hate what God hates. So what kind of soil are you this morning? This is a sobering question, because we all are one of these soils. Every single one of us. Every single person that listened to Jesus on the shores of that lake. Every person sitting in this room. We are one of those soils. And brothers and sisters, I don't know how to fit this into this message, but I had already prepared this message before the accident happened at the end of my driveway yesterday. But that man entered in eternity in about 30 seconds. I don't know how long it takes from the time you lock up your brakes and skid until you're dead. I walked up to this scene and that man was clearly gone. I came there to help, but I could not help that man. His destiny was sealed. Whatever condition his soil was in is exactly what he is today. Brothers and sisters, this is not something we need to take lightly. When Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," we have only one life to get it right. And we must get it right. May this study of this parable and its explanation stimulate our thinking and help us sense the urgency to examine our hearts. Is my heart right with God? Am I where God wants me? Am I hiding things? I can assure you that when that man took off, he lives in Rosebush right beside the mobile gas station. When he took off and headed west, I'm sure it didn't cross his mind that he was going to be in eternity in about 3 minutes. God bless us as we truly think about life seriously. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank and praise you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can have your written word, that we can read. And though we could stand on the seashore and listen to Jesus preach, we can read the words and know and understand. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us do that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us when we have done wrong and helps us to repent before it is too late. Father, we just pray that we can grip, that the urgency can grip our hearts to have our soil, our hearts, free from all iniquity, that we can be prepared to live for you. And Father, we just pray that each of us, we can recognize the need to have our soil tilled deeply so that we can absorb the truths that we read each day. And as we reach out to you and call upon you, that you have a desire to help us. You want to walk with us. Father, you understand the things that we face. And you're there for us. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. Father, we just pray that for everyone that's in this audience today, they can truly experience the peace of God which passes all understanding. And that they can live completely committed to you. And recognize that life is all about you. And that you hold the key to eternal life. You hold the key to how long we're going to be here on this earth. It is up to us to have our hearts and our soil prepared so that we can be with you someday. Thank you so much for your presence. continue to be with us, be with the people, the victims to that accident, everyone that was involved as they grapple through this, that you would just give them strength, that by most of all, that your name can be honored and glorified, and it can bring more souls into your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.